Perek Yudei is the 12th parak of Maseilas Yesharim, B'darchei Kinyas HaNikiyus, the ways to acquire Nikiyus. Hine, Ha'emsa Iha Amiti Liknos HaNikiyus, the true method of acquiring Nikiyus, Hu Hasmodas HaKriya B'Divi Chacham Zichron Levacha, is to continually study and read the words of our sages. In Binyani HaHalachos, whether it's for the matters of law, Binyani HaMusar, whether it's the matter of ethics, because we explained that Nikiyus is twofold. Nikiyus is being careful with all the particulars of daily living, whether it's in the halachas of what we eat, in the halachas of Shabbos, kashrus, mominus, choshen mishpat, and musar, how a person behaves. You have to be naki from kas, from gaiva, from taiva, from kinna. Once a person is clear that he has to be a naki, that he has an obligation to do these things correctly, and the need to do so, because he already achieved the levels of zehirus and zerisus, he's busy acquiring zehirus and zerisus, and he stays away from things that take away from them. So the next step is Nikiyus. There'll be nothing in his way. Liknos ha-Nikiyus, to acquire Nikiyus. What's missing? El yediyas ha-dikdukim, knowledge of the particulars, Hashem mitzvahs, of all the mitzvahs. K'dei sh'yuchal yizor b'kum, that he should be careful in all of them. V'alkein therefore, hine tzerech lo behechuch yediyas ha-halachas al buryom, he, by necessity, must know all the halachas clearly. L'das anfei ha-mitzvahs ad hechen he-magiyim, to know all the branches of the mitzvahs, how far they go. Since it's very common to forget these fine points, he'll need to constantly review the books that explain the particulars, that he should constantly have it on the front burners, something he's always thinking about. And then that would motivate him to keep them. And it's true with character traits as well. It's necessary to read the sayings of Musar from those that are early or those that are later. Because many times, even after a person is determined that he's going to be a medakdek, he'll be a naki, it's possible to make a mistake in the details. He's not knowledgeable about it. You're not born a wise man. You can't possibly know everything. By reading and learning, it'll arouse you to things you didn't know. And you'll think more about things you didn't think about before. Even things you won't find in Svarim. Once you're thinking about it and your mind is awake, then you will think about all the possibilities. And you'll come up with new points from the source of truth. However, what detracts from the Kiyas? The same things that take away from Zahiris. But notice of alayim, in addition, cheson habikius v'yediyas adinim or musarim, the lack of expertise in the knowledge of the laws or the ethical way to act. Kama shekasavti, as I wrote. U'kvar amu chazal have taught us, v'lo amu oretz chosid. In amu oretz, someone who's ignorant will not achieve the level of piety. Kimish lo yida, if you don't know, e'er shalasas, you can't do. V'chein amu, and similarly they say, Talmud Gadol shemeiv de maisa, that learning is very important, or perhaps the most important, because it brings to action. So this concludes the discussion of Nikiyus. The Ramchal began with Zehirus and then Zerizus, Surma Rava Asetov, and then spent a very long time on Nikiyus. And ultimately, this is tzaddik. If you've reached this level, you've gotten there. You're up to tzaddik. And we can stop right here. This is tzaddik. The tzaddik is the one who does all the things he's supposed to do and doesn't do the things he's not supposed to do. And that's what we're talking about. That's only the third level. The very next discussion, Prishus and Chasidus, that's beyond Tzaddik. That's Lifnim Yishur HaSadin. That's more than what the Torah requires of us, going the extra mile to do the Ratzon Hashem, even when it's not mandated or required by Halacha. And Bli Neder will discuss that after the summer. Nikius is the pinnacle of Tzidkus. And as we go through it, or went through it, we see how the Ramchal points out how the Tzaddik is so careful with what he eats, and so careful with what he says, and so careful with his Shmir Shabbos, and so careful with his behavior, and all the pitfalls to Gaiva, and to Taiva, and to Chemda, and to Kina, and to Kavod, all these things. The Tzaddik rises above all these things. The only way to get there is constant study, constant review, going to Shi'urim, listening to Shi'urim. There's no other way. There is no other way. The Rishon Salanter wrote that it's true that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They are. Women do not have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But women have a Yetzer Hara, and the Gemara says the only antidote to Yetzer Hara is Torah. Baratzi Yetzer Hara, Baratzi Torah Tavlin. So Rishon Salanter writes that women have an obligation to learn Musar to counteract the Yetzer Hara. They don't have mitzvah and Torah for the sake of learning Torah. They don't have that. If they learn Torah, they get schar. But they don't have the obligation the way men do. But learning Musar, Rishon Salanter put forward this premise that women and men are alike. We all have Yetzer Hara. The only way to deal with Yetzer Hara is Torah. That is the answer. Now there is a well-known Vilna Gaon where the Vilna Gaon said that for men, Talmud Torah is the antidote to the Yetzer Hara, and for women, Tzinius is the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. But that's not what Rishon Salanter says. Rishon Salanter says Torah is the power to fend off Yetzer Hara. And if a person is working on their midos, a person is working on gaiva, a person is working on kina, tai, all these things, so Torah is where you find the chizuk and the appreciation of how to behave and how to act, and not to fall into those pitfalls. And that's what Ramchal is saying over here. You want to acquire nikiyus, you have to know all the halachas, you have to know how to behave, you have to learn halach, you have to learn musar. You need both, and that will guide you and help you achieve this level of nikiyus that we call tzidkus. Most of the people that we think of as tzaddikim are actually beyond tzaddikim. They're actually in the world of prushim, chasidim, they're beyond. The Ari Levines of the world, they're beyond tzaddik. All of us are expected to reach this level. It's a little scary, but that's the fact. The fact is we're all expected to be Anoki. To be a Zahir, a Zoriz, and a Anoki should be within everyone's grasp. This is what is expected of all of us. There is an interesting thing. He writes at the end, Lo Ama Aretz Chosid, Tamad Golos Mir De Maisa. In civil law, there's no such thing as I didn't know it was illegal. Ignorance is not an exception. You will not be forgiven because you didn't know. There's no such thing. There's some Latin saying for it, I don't know what it is. But ignorance is not an excuse. You can't say I didn't know it was against the law. That doesn't help you. You're speeding, you pulled over. You know how fast you're going? Yeah, 45 miles an hour. Do you know it's 25 miles? No, I didn't know. Well, it's 25 miles zone. You're going 20 miles over the limit. Here's your ticket. The fact that you didn't know doesn't help you. You did something wrong. You can't excuse it without knowing. In Torah, it's not really like that. We do have a concept of shogeg. We have people that just don't know. And a shogeg is not the same as a mezid. There's one thing to be a shogeg. It's not to be a mezid. One is an intentional is different than unintentional. Someone who does a chet unintentionally still has to do tshuva. You still have to do tshuva for unintentional chet, but it doesn't have the same punishment as intentional chet. Beis Din will not punish for shogeg. Hashem will, but not Beis Din. Beis Din will not get involved in a shogeg case. They won't get involved in a mezid. That's why you have to have witnesses and a warning to make sure it was mezid. How does Beis Din know it was a mezid? He'll say, I didn't know. There are witnesses. So I thought it was okay. So the witnesses have to warn him and tell him this is not okay, and if you do it, you're going to get punished. He says, I don't care, and I'll do it anyway. That's amazing. Then Beis Din will act. But without witnesses, without warning, he's not going to get punished by Beis Din. But even the Shoigeg, who didn't know, will have to deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in time of Beis HaMikdash, he brought a Korban Chatas, if it was a Chil Shabbos B'Shoigeg, depending on what the Chet was. And he has the Tshuva. Chatasi, when we do Vidu, we say Chatasi, that means I was sinned B'Shoigeg. Chet typically refers to Shoigeg. So we have the Tshuva for things we have done without realizing. Why is that? Because we should have known better. How are you going to know better? You should have learned. Shogeg is a limited excuse. It's a limited excuse. Again, it's civil in our country, it won't help you at all. Well, maybe the judge will be nice if you're a first-time offender. But the point is, you should have learned. You should have done it. You should have learned. You should have known. There is a concept that the Gemara mentions that people talk about. Isn't it better if they're going to do it wrong anyway, better they do it wrong with Shoigeg than amaze it. So why tell people that, you know, it's not right, don't do that, that's not against halacha. If they're going to do it anyway, then now they're amaze it, and until now they were Shoigeg. So first of all, there are limitations. That concept doesn't work for things that are explicit in the Torah. Anything explicit in the Torah, we don't say mutiv shiyah Shoigeg. We don't say better off be a Shoigeg. If it's in the Torah, you have to tell them. Second of all, even if it's not explicit in the Torah, the Gemara says, how did you know they wouldn't listen to you? Maybe if you would have told them, they would have listened to you. How do you excuse yourself? I'm not going to tell them, because if I tell them, it wasn't anyway better than the Shoigeg than amaze it. How do you know they're not going to listen to you? Maybe they will listen to you. You got to say it nicely. You got to say it the right way. But it's not a very simple explanation that, well, they wouldn't listen to me, so therefore I wasn't going to tell them. And as far as the person who does the thing wrong is concerned, they really have to strive to learn, to do better, to know everything they need to know. If a person would want to learn how to drive a car, I think they're going to want to learn exactly how to drive a car. How to drive a car on the highway, how to drive at night, how to drive by day, how to change lanes. You're not going to give them a limited education to get from here to the grocery. I mean, you have to know what you're doing. So everything is like that. Shabbos like that, kashrus is like that. All the halacha, you have to know. If you don't know, how are you going to make sure you're doing the right thing? So we really do have an obligation to try to learn and study to know as much as possible. Remember one time someone asked a question, and before I said the answer, three students said, wait, and they ran out of the room. They did not want to hear the answer. So I called them, I said, you think that what, after 120 years, in Shemayim they're going to say, why'd you do this wrong? And you're going to say, I didn't know. But they're going to tell you, Paragazim was about to say, and you ran out of the room. What kind of excuse? They won't have an excuse. It doesn't help you anymore. Once you're here, it's too late. So I've often pondered this, and my thinking is that if a person is teaching Torah, if a person is giving a lecture, there's no mutiv shiyah Shoigeg. You're coming to say the halacha the way it is. People are coming to learn, you're coming to teach, you have to say it the way it is. You can't leave things out and skip things because some people may feel bad or some people may not want to do that yet. It's one thing to go over to a person and tell them. But if someone comes to a class, someone comes to a shir, the understanding is you want to learn something. Now, maybe you could tell me that when you're in high school, it's compulsory, you have no choice, and you're forced into that classroom and you don't want to be there. All right, maybe yes, but I don't think it makes a difference. Once you're there, once your parents made that decision to put you in that classroom, you're there to learn. And I think at that point, there is no holding back critical information because maybe someone isn't ready for that. It could be some people aren't ready for it. I'm not arguing the point. There may be someone not ready for it. But if it's something that is standard halacha, you got to say it. So I don't think there's an excuse in that regard. And in general, when you're beyond school, it's important to keep up. There are a group of women who constantly come to halacha shiurim, and they know the halachas, but there's always something new. There's always something that we didn't understand. A lady wrote me the following note. I thought it was a beautiful note. She says, when I come to halacha class, I don't feel more limited. I feel more liberated that I understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm being tied down. I feel like now I understand everything. Now it makes so much more sense why I've been doing this, why my mother did it this way, why I'm doing it this way, and explains like that. So that's it's a beautiful attitude. And I think that even for people who keep halacha and do what we're supposed to do, the more we learn, the more we find out ways to be a better nuki. The concept of nukiyus is to be, you know, as good as possible could be. So it's something that if you have an open mind and you're willing to change, you will be able to learn new things along the way, even though you thought you were perfectly familiar. One of the hardest things is to actually change. If you've been doing something a certain way a long time, so change is hard. Change is difficult. Maybe change is unsettling. It's unnerving. It's out of our safe zone. But if you know it's the right thing to do, then you got to do it. And it may take a little time, but you should make it a goal to eventually, I'm going to do this. If this is the right thing, I'm going to do it. I'll give you an example. I hear from a lot of people that they don't say Hamapil at night. They don't say Hamapil. They don't say the Baruch Hamapil. And they have all kinds of excuses. And I think the most dominant excuse is, I don't want to limit myself. I might have to talk. And if I say Hamapil, I can't talk. So I'm not going to say Hamapil. To that I respond, Chaim Sanzer said, better to say Hamapil and talk 100 times than to go to sleep 100 times and miss Hamapil once. So it's important to say Baruch Hamapil. And if you have to talk, you have to talk. I think the halacha, if the phone rings and you have to get the phone, you get the phone. Certainly you can make a shakal. If you're thirsty, you can say Asher Yosef to go to the bathroom. I know there are those who argue. There are those who say that you cannot get the phone and you can't even say Asher Yosef to go to the bathroom. I don't believe that's mainstream halacha. Mainstream halacha is you do say Asher Yosef if you go to the bathroom, and you say Shahakal if you're thirsty, and you say Berit Fashos. And if you have to, you can't, because most posts can hold the bracha of a mapel is not a bracha on sleep the way Bor Pir Eitz is a bracha on a fruit. It's a bracha, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to sleep, and we say it before we go to sleep. And we hope we fall asleep. And if we don't, and it's an important phone call, you're allowed to talk. That's what I say. But in any event, if someone says Machmeh, that's fine, you don't have to talk. But not to say a mapel? I think that's wrong. So I think it's important to say Hamapil. I know some people find an extra support to not saying Hamapil because there are some opinions, al pi Kabbalah, that after Chatzos, you don't say Hamapil. Hamapil is only until Chatzos, not after Chatzos. So if they're always going to bed after 1:30 in the morning, so they're not going to say Hamapil. Yes, and it depends on when you change the clock. Right now it's 1:30 something, 12:30 in the winter. So you go and sleep after Chatzos, so you don't say Hamapil. First of all, you should go to sleep before Chatzos. In any event, and even if you don't, we do everything al pi Kabbalah. All of a sudden, we're big with Kabbalah, because al pi Kabbalah says something. Now you do everything else al pi Kabbalah? Probably not. So to me, there's no real legitimate excuse la halacha not to say Hamapil. I believe it's important. Now again, for some people, it's a hard thing to get themselves to do. So I say, don't you have these nice cars? Don't you give out bas mitzvahs to get these cars, the Shema? Yeah, we have it, but we don't use it. You have it. You have the card. You don't have the card, get the card. It costs a few bucks. Keep it by your bed. You say Hamapil. You say Hamapil. So that's what when I read this Ramchal, I learned this Ramchal, they have to constantly review, constantly learn. And you'll learn new things. You'll discover new things. You'll come to new realizations that you didn't have before. And maybe you'll be motivated to be more nucky. Because again, that's the concept of the kiyas. The kiyas is trying to be the best, medakte, careful in halacha as possible. And invariably, if you go learn and hear shiur, you're going to learn something though.